Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show, and my name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Brr. How cold is
it
in Atlanta? How cold is it there?
I don't know. I hadn't checked. I just know it's cold.
Probably
not as cold as you guys.
I don't know. But when I woke up, my phone said 2 degrees.
It's 27 degrees here.
Beach day.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's cold.
It's been cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been. You know, the day that I took off because of work, so the
right.
day that last Tuesday,
right.
We were still playing it by ear the whole time. I had even driven up. I had driven up to the client's house and called because I was there a little bit early. I was just trying to make sure I didn't get caught in any strange traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, even she said, "Well, do you still feel comfortable driving? Because we don't know what kind of weather we're going to have." I said, "Yeah, for now I'm fine." I said, "You know, I think on the way home we may be dealing
right.
with some issues because of black ice, basically." But it was fine. Like the whole day was fine. The temperature was dropping. I could see that in the car I was driving, but. We didn't deal with any snow, didn't deal with any ice. It was just very, very cold. So I'm glad we went through with it. But that's the type of iffiness we were dealing with because actually Tuesday traffic-wise here was very light because everyone stayed off the roads, which was
right.
great for me.
Smart. yeah, good for you. Smart, right.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. And the IQ plummets. I don't know what it is about very cold weather that affects my brain.
Mm.
Even though I'm in a heated apartment, I'm still like, okay. And welcome to the Simple Minded Hour, where we will give you lots of useless, trivial information.
Right.
Anyway, and it was great that, and shout out to Anna for co-hosting and filling in for you. Very helpful conversations, sharing perspectives.
Yes.
And I'm so happy you finally got to spend some quality time with your nephew and your niece, with Anna's
yeah.
children.
That's
amazing.
That was very nice. I was not expecting that. I never know what the situation
well,
is.
Of course.
So what she said, I saw her on Sunday after I went to Lolita's parlor for puja.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was very interesting because it's you know, it's a culture I'm not very familiar with. It's
right.
you know, there are practices that I'm not very familiar with. And I'm not
right.
a big fan of a lot of ritual anyway because
right.
growing up Catholic, I had so many questions.
Right. Right. Ha, ha, ha.
So,
right.
So sitting through that, and sitting is the main part. There's a lot of sitting
yes.
on the floor, which these old bones don't do it very well anymore. But I was sitting through there like, wow, this is there's a lot of chanting and, but it was good because I understood the intent behind it. And you know, just trying to be very respectful because it's something that means, you know, these are all rituals that they're used to doing or not even that particular one, but to do something along these lines every so often, that's just part of what they're used to. And for me, I'm like, now what are we doing? Like, I want to know why. I wanted to know why for everything. And, you know, it's not always easy to, you can't like pause, you know, her father who was doing everything and saying, so what is this about again? Could you repeat that again? So I just have to be patient and just be in the moment. But yeah, it was an interesting thing to go through. Like, so I felt like that was important to start off the day. That was something different. And then I got to see Anna, who was doing some work with somebody else. So I just sort of hung out for a little bit. I was honestly kind of sleepy afterwards. So I took a little nap. I was doing a meditation listening through some headphones on a CD, did a meditation and fell asleep. And then she said, well, we need to go. And if you don't mind, is it okay if the kids hang out with us? I'm like, that shouldn't even be a question. Of course.
Of course I want to
have the kids hang out with us. That's totally fine with me because I have not seen them at all.
Forever.
Months, you know? So yeah, I got to see them and the first thing is hearing my nephew's voice, which has dropped considerably.
I'm sure.
And he's taller than I am, which isn't much, but he's taller than I am.
No, I get
and
that.
He's got this wonderful head of hair. Like it's kind of wavy, curly on top because it's kind of grown out a little bit. And he's always had rock star hair, but he's got some good hair. And he's just so handsome. When I looked
so
at
gorgeous.
Him,
both
like,
of them gorgeous.
Gosh.
Right?
I know. And I just gave him a big old hug. And he's got this big grin on his face. And then there's a little one who just clings to me. And
aww.
I loved it. It was just, she's just really cuddly and kissy.
Well, she misses
I
you guys. It's
you.
Like, you can't starve the children. Like, that makes me crazy. And finally, no shade, but shade. It's probably convenient now. And that's the whole thing. It's like, and I said this months ago, what single parent doesn't want to have, like, help with the kids so that you can, like, not leave them alone all the time or this, that, and the other, especially if they're little. I mean, my kids are older. My youngest is a little bit older than their oldest.
Right.
And so I was more comfortable having a 19-year-old. Well, this happened when the kids were like 18, 19, when it started. Be with an 11-year-old than a 12 and a 9-year-old. Like, it's hello.
Right.
So, the fact that there's safety, there's adult supervision, there's worrying so much less. Like, yeah, make your life easy. Please take the kids. Hello. You know, and it's and unfortunately, my kid's father doesn't have an suitable housing situation. So the kids are with me 24/7, and that's fine. However, if there was a housing situation where that could be not even official custody, but just more like, oh yeah, you're gonna spend the weekend at your dad's. Good. You know.
Right.
Let me catch my breath. So I think finally that benefit of convenience is dawning on her. I mean, it's none of my business. However, it's just good for everybody. And if the kids are starved, clearly starved for that energy, no matter how you feel about the ex-partner, no matter how I feel about the kid's father, that relationship needs to be honored and respected and encouraged. You know?
Right.
So maybe that's beginning to sink in a little bit. I hope so. But anyway, at the end of the day, I am so happy for you and for them that you guys got to reconnect after all that time.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it just felt so nice to be with them.
Yeah.
And to, you know, spend time just really, you know, hanging out with them, just paying attention and listening and trying to catch up a little bit and just marveling over how much they've grown.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I tend to get into that where I'm I'll remember people. Like, people do that to me. I still have friends and relatives that say, oh, you eat meat now? I'm like, oh, my God, that was like 13 years ago.
That was 20 years ago.
14 years ago.
Right.
But But so you kind of have certain people that you, if you don't see them very often, you see them at their best or your most cherished memory. So they're always
right.
going to be like little kids to me, you know.
Always.
But I have to admit that
right.
they are, even seeing your son, you know, like, oh, I remember when I first met them. And now
yep.
who are trying to reconcile who they were to who they are now. Just mind-blowing
right.
to me.
Yes.
So that it was a very special day, and
oh, I'm so glad.
You know, we when we spend time together, usually we're always doing something. It's not like, you know, these are not people I have these long drawn out conversations with, obviously. Although with Jaden we probably could, because he would just go on and on about, you know, Lego minifigures or, you know, any other thing he's involved with, and it's just him kind of reciting everything. It's not really a conversation. I'm just
right,
you know,
exactly.
Ask,
that's what they do. I'm like,
silly,
okay, great.
I'll ask silly questions just to throw him off. Like, I'll ask
right.
philosophical questions, and he'll kind of tilt his head and look at me weird, and he'll try to get back on track. I didn't try that with him. We played some Xbox game, you know, some
right.
racing game that obviously I was going to suck at, but I did beat him like 3 times
okay.
somehow. But yeah, I kind of, you know, call in what my older brothers would have done, which was just a bunch of, you know, trash talk, and I'm gonna beat your butt on this, and, you know, just to kind of get that competition going. So he would sort of roll his eyes, because he knew
yeah.
how to play this game, but I had to kind of give it to him, like, yeah, don't worry, I'm gonna get you next time. And when I actually did, he was a little stunned, but he wasn't.
Well, isn't that great? How triumphant.
He wasn't mean-spirited about it. I think it was he's really a good big brother. Because I know he gives Lily a hard time, but I think he definitely wants to see her do well, and wants to see her, you know, at least improve or enjoy herself or something like that. So he was like that with me, which I thought was really sweet.
Oh my gosh, like, great.
You're so adorable. So here I am,
nice.
my nephew and my niece, but it was just fun. Lily has very fine hair, but she also tends to get like major knots in it, because she just,
yeah.
for whatever reason, she just doesn't like to brush her hair.
Right.
So when I saw her, she's had a huge knot in her hair. I'm like, oh my God, do you need help with that? She's like, no, I'm good. Okay. I said, and I know I say this every single time when she has these huge knots in her hair. I mean, it looked like another person was about to be born in that
yep,
head of hair.
Yep,
but
yep.
I said, I always tell her the story of when I was a little kid and I fell asleep with chewing gum.
Oh.
I had been chewing gum and I fell asleep with it in my mouth and it ended up in my hair.
Oh, Lord.
And there was just nothing that you could do to it. We had to cut it out. So I don't know. I said that's what it reminds me of, this clump of stuff in your hair, and you know, at least we know it's not gum. At least we hope it's not gum that's in there. Mm-hmm. Could be anything in there. But yeah, they solved that. She took a bath and, you know, worked it all out. But I'm like, good Lord. So she was totally fine with that big old knot on her head for most of the time I was there. So something's hadn't changed. I'm like, all right. She's still very well spoken. Both of them are so eloquent and very well spoken, which I love. That it was just so nice to spend time with them. I really miss them, and I just love them so much. It's so good to see them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, overall they're good. They're happy. I know they just, you know, they're also missing out on other parts of their family, but, you know, what can you do? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing much. Just taking opportunities where you can.
Right, and
so
progress. Slow, it's slow progression,
yeah.
but progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time not that long ago where Anna couldn't even have any communication with her children.
Right.
So it is slowly but surely evolving. I mean, the fact that you got to spend such quality time, that's the first step. So...
Yeah, and what I'm getting is that I'm sure if I approached, you know, their mother and said, you know, would it be okay for me to spend time with the kids? I mean, there's a good chance she may say, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like, but I have to talk to her first. Like, you know, she's not going to reach out. So,
no.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, what I'll look at doing. I wouldn't do it without Anna, you know, if Anna and I can spend time that way, because that was just fun, just to spend a few hours, you know, in the same space, and they're just kind of bouncing around and doing their thing, and it was just, and it was just a nice way to spend time with Anna too. We were able to talk a little bit before we got there, you know, just doing that. But it was a relaxed environment, and yeah, because now I don't get to see my cousin either. You know,
I know, it's like
state.
It's all changed, right?
Yeah, yeah, very different. So I have to pick and choose, you know, and of course for her to maximize her time. Whenever she can spend time with the kids, and she will, but she, you know, it's not like she has to give them 100% of her attention, because they're pretty independent, but you know, it's like planning meals together and then catching up and playing games together. But you know, we can all take time out and just be in the same space and do some things that we need to take care of. So those are things that I do miss, being in that environment. You know, it's basically family time. Like, you don't have to be
exactly
engaged the entire time.
Right, you're just coexisting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Well, that just was very nice to hear on Tuesday. So I was glad, and you posted a really adorable picture of the three of you, which I thought was great.
Oh, I had to get a picture, because I couldn't just get over how big he was. And
gorgeous.
And he usually doesn't sit still for
oh, yeah, right, of course,
pictures.
Right.
So what I asked, I said, can I get one of the three of us? And he got up right next to me. I'm like, okay, thank God, you know, because I don't want him. Just a blur is usually what I have of him. It's a blur, and then me and Lily, you know, that's it. So it was nice that he be part of the picture.
Yeah. Well, because everybody's seeing, like, this is, like, special.
Yeah. Yeah, because they hadn't seen me. I hadn't seen them in good, at least half a year.
Jeez. That's a long time in kid years, yeah.
Yeah. It's been at least 6 months, I would say. Yeah. And only Lily saw them twice last year. So.
Wow. As opposed to, like, all the time.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to deny that it's been a big adjustment for everybody involved.
Everybody. And the thing is, like, whether I want to face this, admit it, or whatever, as much as a parent can say with a breakup, oh, the kids are fine, they're fine. Yeah, they're fine. However, they're affected.
Sure.
They are deeply, profoundly affected, more, I think, than we would like to admit or realize. Not that it would change the outcome. The outcome would not be changed. And again, it's pointless to have regrets, because the past is the past is the past. However, moving forward, I feel it's my responsibility to be absolutely mindful to be very aware of how they're affected, so that it doesn't, old wounds are not reopened, which
right.
is why I refuse to communicate to their father in their presence. That's just asking to participate in creating some damage to them. And that's a very sobering truth to contend with, to face, to, of course, not go in the rabbit hole of guilt and shame. But of course, as a parent, I think that's a barrier to work through and to get to the other side, and to have accountability without guilt or shame, which is very difficult. But again, to move to the other side of that, But yeah, that's the kids really get affected. I just will say, I, no matter how old they are, they are really affected more than we care to admit. So that's the that's the thing to be aware of in moving forward. So how wonderful that there was a sense of comfort and familiarity. And that's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's great that finally that's happening with your side of the family. Finally. Because that's
right.
So important.
Right.
Yeah. They can't be starved of that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that they're getting that.
So many of my relatives who posted on that one, like, oh, you know, we miss them. I hope we can see them soon. I'm like, yeah, I hope so too. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, right now I have a feeling it's going to be very controlled as per usual. But you know that I was able to see them at all was great, and so I'm just thankful for that. Got to see them, spend time with them, and you know, still laugh. I mean, they're just so brilliant and they're so funny. Lily especially. Anna had given her a little like Kodak, like Polaroid type little camera for Christmas, so she was taking little selfies with it, you know, with me and her, and I'm like, you don't even know, because there's no way to check. It's not like we're so used to our cell phones. There's no way to check to see if you even got, you know. Yeah, I said, you probably got like my right nostril and your left eyeball, and then that's it. And sure enough, it turns out it's mostly me in there. She's like, that's okay. That's what I wanted to get you anyway. I'm like, aw. Okay, but we took a few more. It was nice to do that. So just, you know, we just sat and really let the conversation flow, and it was just really nice to see her eager to talk about stuff and to want to share. So I guess, and I said it in my post, it was just good for my soul. I needed it. I just needed to spend time with them. No one. So, just in case people are listening, because I never know how far-reaching this goes beyond what they show me on our control panel, I cannot, for whatever reason, get the chat room to work. So I posted that in our Facebook page that, you know, we're on, but the chat room function doesn't work. So if you do need to reach us, you can call in at 718-664-9124, or you can send us an email at loablend@gmail.com. And no one's in the queue right now, you know, with a hand up or anything like that. So,
okay, cool.
I did want to mention, of course, because I don't get to talk to you for a few days, all these dreams have started to come in even more so, but I don't necessarily think it's been a theme. And now, because, you know, it's been a few days, I remember one, or so I'm just going to give you some different images. They may not all be from the same dream. But there's one image of me jumping into a pool, but it's not like a swimming pool. It's, at least I don't think it is, but it's definitely ice water. And it's like we're in like Iceland or someplace really cold, where this is not where people hang out to swim. But there were people in the pool. And I remember jumping in thinking this is crazy. But not being shocked by it being cold, because I don't remember feeling it. But I remember thinking it's going to be really cold. But I remember thinking, oh, well, I did it. I did it anyway, and I'm okay, you know. But it wasn't what I was expecting when I jumped in.
Of course.
If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
okay.
yeah.
I think this morning... I want to say there was like Sophia was around, because I think she was in my dream.
Aww.
And she was in between the walls of this room, or of the room I was in, which like, I associate with being in the house. But there was a lot of construction. Like there were some people trying to fix whatever was happening around the house, like we were having remodeling done or whatever. But my mom was with me. It wasn't my Aunt Thelma. It was my mom. Like, we were trying to do some things with the house. I knew we had some people working on some things, but between two different rooms, like there was a passageway or at least a hole that needed to be fixed or some, whatever the case may be. But I remember Sophia or the little kitten was going through like some tear in the wall. I was thinking, oh, that's one more thing we got to patch up because who knows what's going to happen with all this stuff. Like, you know, there's already, like, we'll get bugs at any given moment. So we want to make sure all that's clear. And that, like, that's something I've in real life I've been trying to fix. But like, there's still stuff in progress, but I remember when I woke up thinking, was that Sophia that was sort of like making an appearance through,
yes,
through
absolutely.
The wall?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then another part, I know this was from last night, and this may have been influenced because of I was on Facebook before and I saw a post from a dear friend of mine. And it wasn't even anything. It was just like, oh, she's got a, you know, kids coming over, her kids have friends coming over. So that was in real life. And there wasn't even a picture attached to it. But for whatever reason, I was dreaming of her and her family, like her husband and her kids. She has two daughters, but I think only one kid was in this one. But she was trying to go to some, I don't know if it was a wedding, but she and her family were supposed to go. But I remember they got stuck in all this traffic. Because I could see, I was almost thinking that I was supposed to go to, not to the same wedding, but I was like, I'm looking at where she was in a stoddard car and a bunch of taillights. You know, there's a huge traffic jam. So I knew she was frustrated because she wasn't going to make it where she needed to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, I'm also going to have to pass on whatever's going on because there's no way I'm going in that traffic. That
right.
looks like whatever's happening is crazy.
Yeah.
And then, again, another part of the same dream from last night. Same
mm-hmm.
person involved. No, it wasn't. Well, that's all kind of blurred together. There's probably a few more things that happened there. But my mom was with me. We were walking. And this is in Atlanta. We were walking across some parking lot. And I remember there was a Publix. It was in the parking lot. And then my mom was saying, oh, look, you know, that's the Publix where your friend worked, my friend Monj. And I'm like, no, that's not, you know, there are a lot of stores out here, you know, so a lot of Publix supermarkets. So this may not be the one that he worked at, which he had never actually in real life worked in the store. But then further down, she's like, oh, well, there he is. And so it's not even in the supermarket, but in the same stretch. Like there's another, like, I don't know, restaurant or whatever. And I don't see him, but I see another one of my friends also affiliated with my fraternity. He's one of my little brothers. I see him, and I said, oh, so it's my little brother. And my other friend, Monj, was with him. I didn't see him. He was kind of blocked. So it was kind of interesting. Like, my mother saw them from very far away, and I was very quick to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
Like leading into that, all the that doesn't mean he's here, whatever. And there they are. So it was like a
mm-hmm.
reunion of sorts. It was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are some of the snippets that I remember.
Okay.
So.
All right. Okay. Okay. So, the very beginning with the pool, it's thinking
yeah.
versus action, and that's really the rewiring that's happening, the repatterning and the rewiring that you are becoming aware of, but that's been going on underneath the surface since forever. And basically, the message is you got this.
Mm.
So, again, how it starts and how it ends, it's thinking versus action or thinking versus knowing or thinking versus present or thinking versus just not drawing any conclusions, just being
mm-hmm.
present, right?
Right?
And it's interesting with Sophia, absolutely came to visit you. And the symbolism of the walls is that she's in a different dimension.
Mm.
So it's parallel, but it's walled off because you're here, she's there.
Right.
And what came in, and it's interesting because this concept has energetically, I feel like this concept has been downloaded a little bit, where in the beginning with work, with doing the work on this show for almost 10 years now, used to making part of the show channeling, and now it's all integrated where it's just one big channel, you know, through my living existing, where the tagline used to be the refinement of transformation. That's kind of been shifted to the renovation of transformation. Okay, so that, and I'm like, really? Oh, that's more work, okay. where we really are a work in progress. So if there's things that, let's say, in the home space, things that need to be done, things that aren't completely finished, and that's kind of reflective of the physical space with your aunt right now. The reason why your mom was in that scenario is because you have a maternal role, not that you want to have that maternal role, but you kind of have a maternal role in the dynamic and the relationship with your aunt. Okay? So, and then when you get into being in traffic with your, I wanted to ask you a question. So you talk about this friend that, okay, yeah, she posted on Facebook, blah, 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 blah. However, you know her from when? From college? What's the history?
I knew her from my first real job as an admissions rep for a college. She was also an admissions rep. We shared the same office. We're the only ones that had to share an office. And that was where she had went. She went to school. So she was on her way out. She was about to start grad school in theology. So that's why we got to share the office, because she was finishing up a cycle and I was just starting.
That makes her perfect.
But we became really, really good friends. And so I've known her for, you know, since like 95, so over 20 years. And just seeing, we're obviously not that close anymore, but I think we definitely needed to meet when we did, to kind of help with our own transitions into our own lives, you know, of going beyond like the first job type scenario and into this is what I'm going to be doing or whatever.
Well, there you go.
So she's now a minister. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, see, this is so sad. That's why. Yeah. So, it's going beyond your, or outgrowing your current circumstances. Going beyond where she's graduated, and you want to graduate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, then you're stuck in traffic, and I think it's tied into maybe there's a desire for you to be in a relationship again, but it's all these blocks, all these obstacles. I felt that the metaphor, and again, like dream, yes, this is dream analysis, dream interpretation, but it's tied into reading the energy of that dream.
Right.
So, and that's why it's not time yet. Like, things need to pass.
Yeah.
And things, right? So that's why. But I think that whole thing with wanting to connect and all of that, you had so many obstacles. It was all jammed up. It was traffic. And then with your mother showing up again at the supermarket, it goes back to the beginning of, wait a minute, if you really step back and see the big picture, don't be so quick to draw a conclusion. And you also said it was a little bit of a reunion, right?
Yeah. This is
with your friend and then your little brother from the fraternity.
Yeah.
Right?
So my friend, I see, he's one of my best friends, so I see him quite a bit. But my little brother, he was my very first little brother in the fraternity. He still lives in the metro area, but I don't get to see him very often. Like, we've definitely grown apart.
Right.
He's got a family, and he's just in the hinterland, so I don't really go out and see him very often. But yeah, I mean, he's a kindred spirit in that, you know, we get each other's sense of humor. You know, we actually lived together for a while after he got divorced. We lived
together. I
already
got this.
Which was
awesome. I already got it. Okay, so what this
okay.
is that the energetic signatures of both relationships is what would be ideal for you to find in a committed relationship with somebody. Whatever that these two possess is what you're wanting, or what energetically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you were to sort of do like this list that had nothing to really do with who they are as people, but just in terms of what you had in the past. Now, it's interesting because it's been a long time since you have been in a romantic relationship. So it's kind of interesting that the little brother, that's from a long time ago, and there really hasn't been an active connection, right?
Right.
And you have an active connection with your best friend, your close friend, and there's something very easy about that. So it's almost like whatever roots or stabilizing factor, or this person's grown up with a family now and all of that, it's almost like merging those two things, those two qualities. It's almost like that's what you're ready for. Does that make sense? And then what's interesting is that you used the word reunion, and it made me think of your friend, Anna's friend. I only met her once, a couple times. Donna Turat says, and if she's still local or accessible, mm-hmm. I think, or you could do it on the phone, have a reunion session with her.
Oh yeah, that's one we have to do in person because her sessions take a long time.
Okay, well then you got. I don't know how it
computer.
Works, but
yeah.
I suggest that you do that.
That would be kind of interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is
I was supposed to meet up with them on Sunday.
Hello.
As a matter of fact.
Hello.
Whatever.
Do I know that?
It didn't work out.
Hello. I love that. Love that. Okay.
Not
love
your
that.
Reunion session, but I was supposed to meet up with her. I think it probably would have come up at some point. That would have been really interesting.
No, if you were a caller, I'd be like, I'm good, but I'm not that good. Relax. Thank you.
Don't even give me a hard time about it. I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm just playing. You're just saying, and I'm just playing. All day. We should change the name. Just saying, just playing.
Oh, we could. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be fun. But that's the whole thing. Like, when have we brought her up on the show? It's been like forever. So it's interesting her energy came in. So that's telling me that in your energetic field that this is something, you know what I mean? Like, you just validated that she was in your mind and you were going to see her.
Yeah.
So symbolically that tells me, yes, follow that breadcrumb, okay? That makes perfect sense. But just energetically, it's very interesting that whether you're conscious of it or not, you've never been more ready or more poised to go kind of out there again in the dating world. Yeah,
okay.
We can't put it. I don't think we could put it off any longer. Sorry. And I haven't said that. You know, I kind of had a prediction about who you were going to end up with, but that was years ago. you know. But then again, I also knew about Anna and Stephanie, and that was since the Lily was one. I called it, and I would say, "Don't say anything. I'm just feeling this. I don't know why I'm feeling this." And I knew it. So we can't forecast in linear time, obviously. We can't predict. And Source doesn't operate on linear time because it's a man-made constraint. So it's very interesting that energetically those energies are making themselves known. So I don't know if you need to get out there more. I mean, who are you going to meet in your house, in your bedroom? Hello. I don't know if you need to be out there more, so to speak. I don't know how that's going to play out. But I also feel that some of the impatience and the frustration unconsciously is coming from that to get your attention, like, oh, okay. It's not really so much the triggers, but those triggers are leading you to carve your own identity that's not contingent upon your responsibilities being like a mother figure in your household, or being a caretaker, or you know, you made that comment where, you know, you don't see somebody for a long time. Oh, I didn't know you eat meat now. Well, you haven't seen me in 12 years. So it's like assumptions.
Right.
And it's interesting because do you see how it works both ways?
Right.
So if you're making assumptions like, oh, no, that's not that person's not there, whatever. Oh, they're there. It works the same way. So people having assumptions about you.
Mm.
That's deep, and that's something I'm glad that we're having this conversation, because that's something I need to check myself with, right?
Right.
Yes, it works both ways. So if you don't want people to draw assumptions about you, and that's tough. That's really tough. That's really tough. But that's a pathway to freedom. It's really tough.
That is true.
Yeah. And I came across a book. I just want to say one thing real quick, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. I came across a book, which I haven't read, but in my laundry room, there's like a book exchange, which I love. I found some great, great things there. But it's a book, I think it's very Buddhist influence, called Radical Acceptance. And I'm like, you know what? I just like the title. I rarely have time to read books, but that's one that I would like to peruse at some point. Because it is radical to accept and not assume. Doesn't mean that you're downgrading or that you're hurting yourself. Just that you're being very mindful and very present. Anyway, what were you going
right.
to say?
What was I going to say? So for this month of January, for me, is a 9 month. It's a number nine personal month.
There you go.
So I was thinking about that because I've gotten a lot of invitations to go to like concerts and, you know, performances, mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff happening like in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always look at a date because, you know, if it's on a weekend, which most of them usually are,
mm-hmm.
it's a, you know, there's a part of me that just needs to make sure I don't have a ton of stuff happening with my business, because that's when my business actually happens.
Right.
So, but, you know, there's also a part of me that knows if I really, you know, wanted to do something, I could make it happen. Obviously, I could take a vacation, obviously, and I've made that happen too. So,
but it's a matter of the motivation.
Really,
it's a matter of motivation. And again, I'm interrupting you a little bit just to not get into the default setting of the what you could do, what you can't do, but it's, I have to tell you, I binged this Netflix show about the art of tidying up with this Japanese amazing woman, Marie Kondo. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Her next
everyone's
book,
raving about her. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm like, you should see. I know how to fold now. Anyway, her new book, okay, which maybe one day I'll get, but I'm already working with the principles of the first one. Her new book is called Spark Joy. And this is why I'm interrupting you a little bit, because I learned something so valuable, and I think you can apply this to not just decluttering and everything else, but to everything in your life, to get you out of that rabbit hole of analysis. And you could do lots of things. And I remember years ago on this show, you know, you would talk about, well, I could do that. If, you know, you would be asked to kind of be stuck with a lot of things that you weren't really happy about years ago with the family
right.
thing. And I'm like, yeah, and you could, you know, pick up dog poop too, but I could do lots of things. I could clean somebody else's house.
Right.
Do I want to? I could watch somebody else's kids. Do I want to? I could do lots of things.
Right.
You know, I could go to jail. Do I want to? No. So, yeah, we could do anything, but we have discernment and we have choice. So what really influenced me and inspired me was this concept of things sparking joy, right? So I have my resale business on Poshmark. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, because I'm feeding my kids with that side hustle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So now when I go thrifting, and again, I do this where now it's like a job. It's fun. But it's not like I'm going to peruse and stroll and whatever. No, it's like, okay, what's going to generate money? Okay,
mm-hmm.
what's going to generate income? And I'm seeing the refinement of my process, where before, and you have to, it's trial and error. You learn by doing. Before, I would have such a I had a very discerning eye. And I have that great instinct, but now I'm hyper aware. And there are things that maybe 2 months ago I would have picked up because they were great, and I won't buy those things. I will buy things that spark joy. That's her philosophy. You keep things that spark joy. So I use that in my decision-making. If I'm shopping for my business, doing whatever, does this spark joy? So I interrupted you because in the concerts and this, that, and the other thing, it's really simple. If it's a vacation to go to the rings of Saturn with your family, and we have to enjoy every precious moment, especially with our aging parents, that's a no-brainer.
Mm.
You're going to make that happen. You will move mountains to make that happen. That sparks joy. You know? You love Jimmy Buffett, but maybe you don't need to see him when you have to work the same day or whatever.
Right, right.
What's going to spark joy? Making money is going to spark joy.
Right.
Depending who's going to be there. Oh, I don't really feel that. Well, I say no all the time, because sometimes if I'm feeling rather fragile, or I don't have the energy to be, oh, party in the box, here's Liz, you know, or to deal with people who are aware of my circumstances or my journey, but because I present a put-together, strong, independent woman, it's almost like I'm not showing weakness or vulnerability, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can deal with that on my own time. But I don't want to be the energy source that's going to be siphoned off, right? So if someone's going
right.
to say, oh, you have everything so together and I'm kind of depressed, you think I want to get together with you? So I have to be very discerning. So if I delay it a bunch of times, then I will make it happen, but with very clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not going to spend the day together. I'm lucky if I could do, you know, an hour or two for like a long lunch, and you'll be off on your way. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
And
so
that's sort of what I've been looking at with these
exactly.
different opportunities, because
right.
I tend to approach it the same way. But I've definitely said no, and for different reasons. One, I was straight up, it's just not my style. It's not. I don't like the band enough to want to
Exactly. It's not sparking joy. The band's not sparking joy.
There have been a few things. I think like it's interesting you mentioned the Jimmy Buffett concert because it is, I think it's during the week. And even then, I still don't have the heart to say, I really don't want to go because there's a part of me that does want to go. So I have to weigh it with all the other stuff. I'm like, I'll go because honestly, that's the only time I get to see some of my friends.
There you go. And that sparks joy. It's not just Jimmy Buffett that you're going
to
be the groupie. Hello. It's just like, this is a bigger picture. And that's the whole point. You're stepping back to see the bigger picture. So it's more, instead of doing the analysis, it's step back and see the bigger picture and analyze from there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting there. I mean, you're there.
I've looked at, my best friend had presented, he said, we've had this ongoing conversation with a third friend of ours who's coming in from out of town. And again, these are all fraternity people. So these are people I've known for years.
Right.
But there's some dance performance. And unless it's like Alvin Ailey, I'm really not.
Girl,
big...
I ain't going to be going to no interpretive. No. Honey.
I mean, I'm usually pretty open minded, but there's a part of me that's like, well, I really have to feel it. And it's
unless
it's
Swan Lake, unless I know people that are in the show. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it were like in college, if I had friends who were doing it, yeah, I'll go. But
all day, of course.
It was intriguing, but not enough. And then
and then you got to pay for the ticket. Hello?
On a Saturday. Then it was on a Saturday. So
and you got to pay for the ticket.
Yeah.
No.
I don't have something automatically planned for that day that I have to do. There is work happening. I haven't assigned myself to it.
Yeah, but sometimes that time with yourself.
I've worked it out is I will meet up with you guys after the show because the show's at night, which helped tremendously. But
that's
I'm like,
a win-win.
I'll meet
that's
up with you
perfect.
Guys after the show. For drinks or whatever.
Well, you chose the thing that sparked the main thing to spark joy. You did it. You chose.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. The draw was to see my friend, not necessarily see my friend's friend who is dancing, who I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
If you had a free ticket, you might change your mind, but it's like, no.
Yeah. That would have swayed me, definitely. But
And I'm so jaded because I'm in this business. I'm so spoiled. Mm-hmm. I am so spoiled. It's like it's almost obnoxious. Like, where's my ticket? No, I'm not going. it's again, what's going to spark joy? And sometimes if you're in energetic transition, as we all are, and you're in recovery, as some of us are more than others, or you're dealing with PTSD or whatever, pick and choose.
Yeah.
Pick and choose. And you were smart enough in recent months to just listen to yourself, to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
I have fallen into the same rabbit hole, like to be all things to all people. No, not anymore. No.
Right.
No. And it starts with your relationship with yourself. And to identify where the irritations and the frustrations come from. Like, I need to step out of frame. And I need to identify this so it doesn't turn into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And the discomfort are the very things, the discomfort, the irritation, the impatience, the depression, whatever that is, that's consciousness getting our attention. See, most effective way to get your attention. And it can be extremely painful, and there could be a lot of resistance. I didn't want to go take the steps to get divorced. I really didn't. I knew I had to in terms of the big picture. But I remember when it dawned on me, like, oh, my God, that there was no turning back. And I knew it. You can't be this clairvoyant and energetically aware and pick and choose when those things are going to happen.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to pick up somebody's mother and from an email, and all these things are true and valid from the reading, I can't pick and choose my discernment. And that's what some people don't understand. Well, you were so sure. I'm like, hello, have we met? You know, have we met? Like, I happen to be incredibly intuitive and clairvoyant. So, and I can read for myself in many cases. So, hello. So when I was faced with that, it was devastating. And this was like 2 years ago where, oh, no. And it took like several months from that 2 years ago, like, oh, no, this is, damn it. Oh. And then, of course, about a year and a half ago, I was absolutely sure. And that I had to move forward. And I couldn't even think about the big picture because the immediate picture was so painful. And I knew it was going to be a long time. I mean, I'm still coming out of the ashes now. It's still very much still in process. People don't understand that, oh, she's happy-go-lucky, she's taking trips, she's doing this, she's doing that. No, honey. I don't make it look good. Yeah. But don't assume. And that's the whole thing. That's that dynamic of that two-way street of assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's something, if we work on that in our, and I'm saying this really to myself, if we really practice that in our own consciousness, in our own perception, because it's all it is perception, then it won't boomerang as quickly back to us and then backfire. Because of how
right.
we're representing ourselves and how we're communicating out there. So, it's a whole thing. Whew, it got deep with those dreams, girl.
Yeah, there are a lot of them happening. I mean, every day I'll have something and I'm like, oh, okay.
I know. Oh, I know.
But thank you for that.
Of course.
I actually was taking notes. I have a whiteboard, so I've been writing down some things. I'm like, yeah, those are some things to think about, or just to
good
kind of write out, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. But that helps a lot. Kind of
yeah,
those.
It's being discernment, being discerning, and putting yourself out there, but in a way that sparks joy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And to make those choices for everything. Marie Kondo has a ton of videos on YouTube that you could just, because I know you don't have Netflix, you can just go and, she is so cute. She is the most adorable. She has an interpreter. She speaks Japanese. She is the cutest little thing. And it just makes so much sense. I'm like, girl. Come to my house. Yeah. And it's cute because for my business, when I'm shipping items, I fold them her way.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yes, I took it to the next level. Oh, yes. So
interesting.
It's a wonderful.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Check her out. Yeah, check her out. It's so inspiring. And then over the weekend, I binged her show, and it really inspired me. It really inspired me to – turn the course of things and to just, again, it's the renovation of transformation. We went from refinement
right.
to renovation. Yeah, I wasn't ready for the renovation. I had to deal with the refinement, and now it's like, oh, are you kidding me? But that's where we are. Anyway, what a great conversation we had. So,
yeah.
Yes, girl. If you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show will be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, Let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Ooh, we don't want no darkness. Ooh, see, it's cold out my brain. Okay. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Thank you, girl. Bye.
Bye.